For years, speakers have drawn Christians towards deeper service for the Lord from the Chapel Platform. The program, The Chapel Platform, comes to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. As the call for deeper prayer and discipleship has gone forth, God has used many speakers on the Chapel Platform to share the truth from the Bible at the various preaching services here. Our speaker is Evangelist Dr. Jerry Savinsky from Star, South Carolina. The following is the third in a series of four messages that he delivered at the BJU 1983 Soul Winning Conference. Dr. Savinsky gave insight into the message we need to give to those who are lost so as to give them the clear-cut knowledge of the saving grace of our loving Lord. He gave this message on Wednesday, December 7, 1983. This date also is the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, leading to our involvement in World War II. This should remind us of the need to reach lost sinners with the blessed gospel. Only God knows how many people were saved prior to these attacks, and time was over for any who did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. As time is precious, we must be ready to give a good understanding to a heart in need of salvation in Christ. As Dr. Savinsky challenges us, his text is Acts chapter 11. His message is titled, The Communication of a Soul Winner.
Well, good morning, students. We've got to come back here and speak to you again. When I was preparing these sermons for the soul winning lecturers, I bought the last four series of the soul winning speakers who were here. Dr. Rodney Bell, Dr. Ed Nelson, Dr. Richard Harris, and Dr. Bill Hall. Because I didn't want to repeat what has already been brought to you students. And how God spoke to my heart by all of those men of God. I greatly respect all four of those men greatly. They're men God has greatly used. When I got through preparing the sermons, which I'm delivering to you all this week, I said, you know, there ought to be something we can leave with the students they can use as they go soul winning. And God placed a burden in my heart, and I developed a thing called the Soul Winning Diary, which is a direct result of preparing the sermons that I gave you all this week. The Soul Winning Diary is a little booklet that gives you some ideas of how to approach people about Christ versus prepare your heart before you go soul winning. A plan that I have found very effective. It's all laid out for you. Also a place where you can record the souls that you lead to Christ. And at the back there's a Bible reading schedule. It's in a bookstore. And if y'all want to get it, they'll be there today and tomorrow and so forth. So you can see someone there at the bookstore. Then also we have four booklets on memorization of God's Word. I feel one of the greatest things in a man's life is knowing the Bible. And therefore, several years ago, we developed a program called the Two-Edged Sword Memory Plan. We have four different booklets. One booklet is on daily living. Another on character. A third on Bible doctrine. A fourth on the family. Schools across the country are beginning to use it also. And several colleges are using it. It's in the bookstore also. It's a systematic plan of memorizing the Bible, so you can go there if you want to get them. Take your Bibles now and go to Acts chapter 11, if you will. Acts chapter 11. Monday, I brought a message to you on the conviction of a soul winner. Yesterday, I brought a message on the compassion of a soul winner. Today, I want to bring a message on the communication of a soul winner. Would you all look in Acts 11 and verse 13, latter part of verse 13 and verse 14, where it begins, "And call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Look here, students. Peter was to communicate the gospel to Simon. Many of us fail to realize this great truth that God wants us to give his message to others. The first man who ever talked with me about Christ is now a hyper-Calvinist. He's out of the ministry. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, "Beware of the man who rides a hobby horse." I say, beware of a man who stretches the sovereignty of God out of proportion to the clear teaching of the Word of God. For you see, students, election is in the Bible. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So there's election in the Bible. But here's evangelism in the Bible. Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Matthew 9:37, Christ said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 29, verse 18. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So, look. Here's election in the Bible. Here's evangelism in the Bible. How do you bring them together? With our finite minds, you can't do that. Therefore, we must conclude, election is God's business. Evangelism is my business. God wanted this man of God, Peter, to give a message to Simon. Now, to communicate means to get a message across. Look here. When I was a student here at Bob Jones, one day I was sitting in the Sunday morning service beside a very dear friend of mine on the Sunday morning service here at Bob Jones. I was like this, and I saw a young lady singing in a church choir. And I punched my buddy and I said, hey, who's that girl up there on the left side of the choir? He said, that's Sharon Ely. I said, oh, I think I'd like to date her. So I got back to my dormitory and I had a friend on my hall. And I said to him, he sang in the church choir. I said, George, you know this Sharon Ely? He said, yes. I said, I'd like to date her. I said, you know where she lives? He said, yes. So I sat down and wrote my first note to Sharon. She didn't know me from Adam. I didn't know her from Eve. You know, I just saw her. And I wanted to date her. And so I spent 45 minutes writing a small note. I tore up 20 sheets of paper. I wanted to date her. I wanted to word it just right. I have lousy penmanship. So I had to write everything just carefully with this left hand of mine to make sure everything was just right. And so I was waiting for the response. And when the letter came flying under the door, I picked up and opened the letter, and she accepted. Oh, my. You know. Man, one of those girls in church choir, I'm going to date. Oh, boy. So I got my suit clean. And, man, when I got her for that date, I was going to take the Vespers. Every hair, everything, just, you know, man, suit, tie, everything just right. Was supposed to meet her out here in front of the auditorium. I'll never forget the first time I met Sharon. Had never spoken to her in my life. Just saw her from the choir. I walked up to her and I said, hello, Sharon. Those big brown eyes, she said, hello, Jerry. My heart began to beat, you know. And then, brother, you should have seen how I began to communicate. What was I trying to do? Well, I was trying to win someone's love. She's now my wife. Students, let me say to you, if you are going to be effective in communicating the gospel, then you, first of all, must look for an opening. Acts 8 and verse 31, there a man was reading the Bible. And Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? In Acts 8, 31, the man said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Acts 8:35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Look, students, we must look for openings. I know Philip was led by God's Spirit. But he did say, do you understand what you're reading? And that was an opening. You know, I went soul winning one time in an eastern state with a pastor. We were going down the road on Saturday morning. He said, "Now, Jerry," I said, "Yes, Pastor." He said, "Be very careful what you say to this man." I said, "Why?" He said, "Just because if this man is not like you, he'll smack you right in the mouth with his fist." Well, students, I want you to know right now, when I go soul winning, I don't go soul winning to let some man smack me in the mouth with his fist. So, when the pastor got out of the car, I walked behind him. I really did. This guy was working on a truck. He had his head down the motor like this. And pastor said, "Gene, I want you to meet our van, just Jerry Savinsky." And the guy did this to him. He went. That's all he did. Put his head back down the motor. He talked with pastor, not to me. I stood there like this. And I just listened. And the more I listened to the man's accent, I don't know why I said this, but I said, "Gene, are you Lithuanian?" And the guy dropped his tools and said, "Why, yes, I am. How did you know?" I said, "My lands, my grandmother was born in Lithuania, and my, you talk so much like my people do." I said, "You just had to be Lithuanian." He ran to me and said, "You mean your grandmother came from Lithuania?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you speak Lithuanian?" "I do know a few words." I said, "I know a few words." The guy did this. He said, "You are the first man I've met in 10 years that's a Lithuanian." And he literally grabbed me by my arm, took me in his house, left the pastor sitting outside. Hey, he gave me a cup of coffee. We sat down. You thought I was a lost loved one, you know. And we talked about the nationality for half an hour. I got ready to go, and I said, "Gene, before I go, I'll just ask you one question." He said, "What is it, Jerry?" I said, "Gene, are you saved?" He came back and said, "I'm a Roman Catholic." I came back and said, "I didn't ask you that. I asked you, are you saved?" In other words, "Gene, if you die today, do you know where you spend eternity?" He said, "No one's ever asked me that question." I said, "Hey, would you mind if I did the Bible and showed you how Christ could save you?" He said, "Why, no. Go ahead." Same man. Pastor was smacked in the mouth with his fist. "Because I'm Lithuanian, I look for an opening. I listen to his speech. Go ahead." Took the word of God. Showed Gene how Christ could save him. I said, "Gene, would you now like to receive Christ as your Savior?" And these are the exact words he said. He said, "Jerry, no one has ever explained the Bible to me like that. Yes, I want to get saved." He got on his knees, received Christ as a Savior. Next morning, he came down the aisle, made public his faith in Christ. When I got ready to leave that church, you know what that man did to me? He walked up to me, grabbed me by my hand, and pulled me up like this, close to him, in these exact words he said. He said, "Jerry Savinsky, if you ever stop back in Maryland, and you don't stop by and see me, I'm going to kill you." Hey, students, I look for an opening. And I say to you, you must look for an opening. And as you find an opening, and by the way, guys, hey, girl, don't blow it. Listen, when I was a student at Bob Jones, I was all zeal, man, all fire. And one day there's four of us in the car going soul winning somewhere. Three of us, we saw a guy hitchhiking. We picked him up. Guy got in the car. He just sat down. We took off. Me, with my zeal, I turn around, just like this, as a front seat. I turn around and said, "If we went down the road a few more feet and this car wrecked and you died, where would you go?" Well, the guy was ready to jump out of the car. Other three guys bawled me out. "So what are you doing, Savinsky?" "Well, you know, you want to look for an opening. You don't want to put a wedge. So let God use you." And I always do this. When I go to someone's home or I'm talking to someone, I try to find their interest. And I love hunting, or I love fishing, and I love sports, and I run. And I try to take an interest in people. And so I always let God lead me and try and find how I can get an open door. And then I say, you know, one day, a man came to my home and asked me this question. He said, "Jerry, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" I said, no, that's a big question. And if I now ask you, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Well, you're probably like me, you know, I didn't know. And he said, Jerry, would you mind if I did the Bible and showed you how God's plan of salvation? I said, why, no. And I said, would you mind if I did the Bible and showed you from the Bible the verses this man showed me? And most of the time, people say, well, go on ahead. And so I begin. And I want to show you a few things which I have used in soul winning. Now look at me, students. These are suggestions. I want to say this. You be tender. You let God use you. Do not be a robot. Don't go. Be flexible. Let God use you with certain portions of reaching individuals. I want to show you what I use as a suggestion, all right? Point one. I want to show you how God sees us. Now let's go to Romans 3:23. And I say, now, you look right here. It says, for all have what? Sin, all right? It says all. That word all means you, correct? It means me, right? All right, it says, we all have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Look, students. Two things. One, have them get their eyes on the Scriptures, if possible. I prefer using the Bible instead of quoting the verses when I'm witnessing someone. If at all possible, have them fasten their eyes upon the Bible. For some reason, God uses that. It's His Word, that's why. A person, second of all, will never be saved until he recognizes and realizes how God sees us. So how does God see you? And they must see themselves the way God sees them. God sees you as a sinner. Now, I met a lady one time in Pennsylvania. And God bless you students from Pennsylvania. This was just happened to be Pennsylvania. I met a lady in my life one time. This lady, I talked with her. She was so syrupy. So religious. Have you ever met one like that? I mean, they get that look like this about them, you know. And she was so religious. Just a pious nut. She really was. She was so pious. And she finally said to me, well, I'll tell you one thing, young man. I have never sinned in my entire life. I said, what'd you say? She said, I have never sinned in my entire life. Under my breath, I said, brother. I just couldn't believe it. So I said, I'll fix her. And so I changed the subject. I said, ma'am, when you were a little girl, did you ever take anything that did not belong to you? She said, why, yes, I did. Why did you ask? I said, just because the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. And she went like this. A lot of times, when a lady gets mad, her elbows goes back like this. And so, I saw how she was reacting. So I said, let me ask a second question, ma'am. Have you ever told a lie in your life? Her lips got like this. Real tight. A lot of times, when a lady gets mad, her elbows go back, her lips get tight. I'll not tell you again, you know, and they talk like this. And she said, of course I have. I said, oh, the Bible says in Exodus 20 and verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. I said, ask a third question. And the third step, elbows back, lips tight, face gets red. Her face is now red. I said, ma'am, have you ever taken God's name in vain? And it was exactly what she did. She was like this. And she went like this. And put her head down and said, yes, I have. I said, ma'am, the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I said, you told me a moment ago you never sinned. Now you acknowledge you've lied, you've stolen, you've taken God's name in vain. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he's guilty of all. That lady came under deep conviction. You know why, students? I relied upon using the Scriptures. And I cannot stress strong enough how you must rely upon the authority of the Bible. Let them see how God sees that individual. A sinner. Then I say, now let's go to Romans 6:23. Point two. There's a price for being a sinner. It says here, for the wages of sin is death. Now I say, would you look at that word, their wages? Hey, look here first. Students, are you aware that a word like wages in the Bible content, the unsaved do not know what wages even means? And so I explain it to them. I say, now, you husband, or if it's a man, I say, sir, you work 40 hours, right? He says, yes, sir. At the end of that week, you get your wages because you put 40 hours in. Is that correct? That's right. I said, now, God's word says, if you go through life as a sinner, that's how God sees all of us, and you never do anything about it, then one day you will receive your wages, that is your pay. And what is it? It says, for the wages of sin is what? And you'll say, death. Now say, the word death, we all know when a person dies, we put them 6 feet under the ground. 6 feet of separation. I said, you know, when a person dies without Christ, that person is not only separated by a physical death, but for all eternity, he's separated from God Almighty. And I said, you know, when you lose a loved one, what happens after that person dies? There's a separation. Oh, yes. But second, there's great grief. Many people grieve for many months after they lose a loved one. And students, look at me. I believe this is scriptural. I don't believe I'm pulling the scripture out of its clear teaching. Whenever a person dies without Christ, and I say this to people, I believe it grieves the heart of God. Now, can the Holy Spirit be grieved? Yes. And grieve not the Spirit of God, the Bible says. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. They are one. And as the Holy Spirit is grieved, I believe God is grieved when someone dies without his Son. And I say to them, when a man dies without Christ, he pays his wages. That is an eternal separation from God Almighty. You must realize, if you die without Christ, there's no hope for you. Then point three, I always take him to Romans 5, verse 8. Now let's look at Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I usually say, you look at that word right there, commendeth. That's a big word. You know what it means? I say, it means to show. A lot of times I show love to my wife by buying her something. That is an expression, an outward expression of my love. And I say, God showed his love toward us. And that while we were what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Students, now this point I'm about to bring, be all ears right now because this is vital. We fail to mention this in our soul winning. Bible says Christ died for us. I say, sir, do you realize how God forgives sins? How does God forgive sin? Does God forgive sin by catechism? No. Does God forgive sin by baptism? No. Does God forgive sin by prayer? No. Does God forgive sin by good works? No. How has God ever taken care of the sin? And then look at me. Emphasize, and you must emphasize this. I said, in the Old Testament, God laid down the way of how he forgave sin. Leviticus 1:5, Aaron's son shall bring the son blood and sprinkle the blood. Numbers 18:17, thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar. Deuteronomy 12:27, the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God. 2 Chronicles 30:16, the priest sprinkled the blood. Leviticus 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. God required blood as the only way of ever taking care of sin. Now, when Christ died on Calvary, the Bible says in John 19:34, that one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood. Now look, I tell them, the only way God can ever cleanse you and forgive you of your sin is by blood. And that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, and show them, you can show them these verses. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Romans 5:9, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And make them realize, when Christ died, He shed His blood for their sins. Okay? Now review at that point. Stop right there and say, look. Now how does God see us? Not how I see you. How does God see us? All right, God sees us as a, wait for His response, sinner. Okay? Now what is the pay of being a sinner? Death. That means an eternal separation from God, correct? Right. All right. How did God show His love toward us? Christ died. He shed His blood. How does God cover and forgive us of our sins? Blood. Then I say this. You know, one day like you, I had someone explain the whole plan of salvation. And I wanted to be saved. And students, I did want to be saved. But I didn't know how to pray. I did not know how to pray. And every night I prayed as a religious person. Same ritual prayer every night. But I did know how to pray. And Pastor Doug Rutherford, the man I was saved under in West Virginia, he said, Jerry, if you want to be saved and you don't know how to pray, then I'll pray first. And whenever I pray, you can pray after me to God. And so he said, Dear Lord, I said, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know Christ died on the cross for my sins. I know Christ died on the cross for my sins. Right now, I accept Christ as my Savior. Right now, I accept Christ as my Savior. Come into my heart and save me. Come into my heart and save me. And I was led to Christ because I did not know how to pray. And I dare say, your moms and your dads and your brothers and your sisters and your friends, many times they're on the verge of being saved, but they do not know how to pray. And a lot of times I'll say, if you want to be saved, we can bow our head right here. You can pray after me, not to me. I'm just helping you. You can pray to God and let Christ save you. And students, I have led many souls to Christ that way. Or I'll say sometimes, in your own words, you can pray and ask Christ in your heart. In the small soul-winning diary, which I have just had published, a lot of these things are mentioned because I feel it's so vital that you recognize how vital it is to draw the net after you give the Word of God. But now I see this in conclusion. Student, you are not the Holy Spirit. You cannot bring conviction. Rely upon the Word of God. Be very tender. And let God direct you as you communicate the gospel to lost souls. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the attention of these students and the faculty. We pray, Lord, You'd honor their lives. Pray, Lord, You'd direct by Thy Holy Spirit as they take this message and apply it to their hearts. Use them, Father, to win many souls to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. Copies of today's message are available, so please write us and send us a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Just mention the speaker, Evangelist Dr. Jerry Savinsky, the title of his message, The Communication of a Soul Winner, and also be sure to mention today's date. Please join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.